It hardly seems possible what began a little over 2 years ago in this very room when we began meeting in Bible studies and planning for the future. And I think some of us looking forward thought there would come a time when we would gather as a body of believers here in Vail and start talking about creating a permanent home, a place where we could gather on a regular basis to worship our God. And my goodness, it's taking place. Today, here in your midst. And Pastor Hook has used these past weeks to help prepare you and make you ask some questions about what is it we will be doing in our new facility, however it shapes itself. And one of the things he asked me to do as I substituted for him today was to look at some of the terms that are used in Scripture about what happened in the early church. And we chose that section in the epistle for today, that section of Acts chapter 2, where Luke, in relating this story of what's happening in the early Christian church, said that the apostles gathered together on a regular basis. And if you look at that passage again, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Then it goes on to describe the community of believers that were living together at that particular time, living in Jerusalem. But I thought it was rather interesting to think about this term fellowship. We use it a lot in our church, and for a good many people, it's that practice that your congregation got into long ago, where you have a breakfast served on some Sunday mornings after our worship, where you always serve coffee, which is called the lubricant of the Lutheran church. You have cookies, and this morning we're going to have cake to honor our Sunday school classes. We think in terms of gathering around that brown cup of fluid, or if you're a tea drinker, it's a light tan cup of fluid, or if you're on non-caffeine, then you drink plain water or juice. But it seems to be that most people's concept of fellowship is what's in that cup. And I'd like to dispel that myth. Because fellowship, as it's described in the early church, is a whole lot more than just gathering around food and sweets. Let me share with you just a few passages from the New Testament that talk about that. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul asks the early Christians, if you have any encouragement in being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And perhaps as you listen to those words and think about the community of Christ that exists in our world today, you can begin to sense what fellowship really is in our world. Now, I come from German stock, and if there was any group of people that was close-mouthed about what was going on in their lives, it was the Germans. You just didn't share things like that. And then I found as I dealt with some Scandinavians that they had the same problem. And then as I dealt with others from different ethnic backgrounds, I felt that that's really true. But one of the things that happens when you are in the community of Christ is that the barriers of defense that we often create around ourselves are abandoned. And as we grow to love one another in Christ, we grow to that openness that allows us to share some of the most tender and precious, as well as some of the most terrible moments of our lives. To live in a community where you can share that without fear of what's going to happen is a true blessing. And that's what the church is really to be all about. While I was a pastor in Fairbanks, Alaska, we were talking about remodeling our church. And at one of our pastoral conferences, we had a young man who happened to be a son of one of my professors at the seminary, a young man who had given his life to liturgical art and architecture. And as we were planning our church, he made a statement that absolutely shocked me. He said, "The narthex of your church," which is technically where a lot of the fellowship takes place, "the narthex of your church should equal in square footage your sanctuary." Now, you think in terms of modern church buildings, and some of them try to amplify that and try to exemplify it in their construction. And so as you plan for the future, I think one of the things you need to do is to think about, okay, what is our structure going to offer us in order for us to carry out our fellowship? I'm not talking about a wired-in coffee service. I'm talking about a space where you and your friends can feel comfortable in coming and sharing with each other. And in spite of the fact in our modern generation we tell each other apart by the name tags, that's how we get to know each other. But one of the things that happens within the community of Christ is that as we grow to know and love each other, we also learn to express ourselves, our doubts, our concerns, some of the things that are going on in our life, so that we as brothers and sisters in Christ can begin to share with each other. Now, what happens to allow fellowship to take place? Well, let's go back to Scripture and find out. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, John writes, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Today we will again share the Lord's Supper. What transpires in the Lord's Supper? Is it just a small wafer of unleavened bread and a sip of wine that's distributed? No, we firmly believe with Scripture that that's where Jesus' very body and blood comes to us, carrying with it the significant gift of forgiveness so that we can share with each other that loving forgiveness that enables us to overcome the barriers. Now, even with a new young congregation like this, I am absolutely convinced that there are people within this sanctuary today who have some hard feelings about someone else in this congregation. And in certain worship settings, there is a practice at a particular point in the worship where we call it sharing the peace. And it's that opportunity for us to get up and to shake hands with one another and not just greet one another, but share that gift of love in Christ Jesus in a way that enables the power of Christ's love to be transmitted one to the other, so that you know without any hesitation or doubt that the other people in this sanctuary, blessed by the same gift of Christ's body and blood and the forgiveness it brings, are able to live in a fellowship with each other. Earlier in that same chapter, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us." So you see, fellowship is more than just distributing something to eat. Fellowship becomes that process by which we can live in community with each other. We can break down the barriers that would separate us. We learn to extract and to share those things which will truly be of help to one another. And when someone shares something with us in deepest confidence, that's where it stops. It doesn't go any further. We are able to live within that fellowship as we begin to share that gift of love in Christ. In the Old Testament, it was kind of interesting. One of the offerings that God prescribed for the children of Israel to use was called a thank offering, and it was also called a fellowship offering. And that was one of the few where the people were encouraged to partake of the meal that was being created through this, well, I suppose you'd call it a theological barbecue, because that sacrificial animal became what fed the people there. And as people lived in that community with each other, they enjoyed the fellowship that brought them together, that enabled them to break down the barriers that had separated them. So listening to that, and going back to what Luke writes, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. We can begin to understand that fellowship includes far more than just distributing something to satisfy our hunger. But how do you get fellowship? I think it's very obvious from what Luke wrote, is that first of all, they gathered themselves around the apostles' teaching. And that's what we do in church. We have Bible study, we have Sunday school, we have worship settings, we listen to the Word of God, we apply it to our daily lives, and in the process, we begin to grow in our faith and in our understanding. There may be some here this morning who are new to the Christian faith, and this may come as a surprise to you. But what God wants us to do is to grow in our understanding of His place in our life so that we can give place in our life to the rest of you. It batters down that old barrier that we create that this world is meant for me. I'm the center. I'm the focus. No, not so in the Christian church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. As you look to the future, and as you think about that structure that will one day be marked with the sign Christ Lutheran Veil, and it's not one that's set on a sandwich board out in the front of some street, but it becomes a permanent residence for you as a family in Christ, as you think about that, one of the things that you need to think about is, okay, how can we enhance, how can we create fellowship there? Is it a golfing outing on Saturday morning? Maybe, but that satisfies a very small group or a section of the congregation. Is it the women's group that gets together and celebrates their mission in Christ? Part of it. It's all of the different things that we do, especially those in which we devote ourselves to the Word of God and to the apostles' teachings that it brings us. Because in the process of doing that, we open ourselves to the gifts that God can bring. And as I look to the future for this congregation, I look with eager anticipation to what's going to happen. Is it going to be in the passages? Well, at this particular point in time, perhaps that's not yet certain. But I do know that within your future, God has a plan for you to grow together as a family in Christ where we can share fellowship, being united in Jesus Christ in word and deed, open to one another's needs, open to one another's joys and celebrations, a place where we can truly rejoice with each other because we share the same Savior, Jesus Christ. And as you look to that future with me, I hope you see the joy that is yet to come. May God grant you His strength as you continue to plan. May He give you the wisdom of knowing what His Word says and communicates to you so that when your congregation is finally established in its own permanent setting, you can truly recognize that the fellowship which began here in, of all places, a high school cafetorium can truly be that which binds you together in heart and spirit. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.